Parshas Bamidbo, as we stand now 3 days away from Chag Matan Torah, I heard just this year in the name of the first Gerer Rebbe, the Chiddush Harim, he asked, why is it that Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu hoistif yoyim echod midaita, he added another day? Why did he add another day? So he explained, because every mitzvah needs preparation, every mitzvah needs hachana. Matan Torah has inbuilt 3 days of hachana, shleishus yimei hagbola. But those days of hagbola, the Torah says you have to actually have those days. So the days of hachana is actually the mitzvah. So you have to have an extra day of preparation for the yimei hachana. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was moistened for yom echad midaitai, to get ready for the yimei hachana. So either way, that was Beis Sivan. We're now into Gimel Sivan, 3 days away from Matan Torah, and we would like Be'ezus Hashem to look a little bit at the upcoming Yom Tov of Matan Torah. We cannot obviously ignore the fact that it's just literally 2 weeks after what happened in Miron, which we're still trying to absorb, learn the lessons of. About a week ago or so, I found myself in a certain place, standing next to somebody, and I heard him humming a tune. He was humming to himself, and I didn't catch the tune. There were no words. And I got a little bit closer, and he was humming to himself the tune of Eicha, the tune of Eicha, in the middle of Chodesh Iyar, and that I think very much reflected the general atmosphere in this particular shechuna in Beit Shemesh, but in Eretz Yisrael and really across the world. An atmosphere of Tisha B'Av. And yet, Tisha B'Av itself is followed up less than a week later by Tu B'Av, which Chazal say is the greatest Yom Tov of the year. Lo'ichonu Yomim Tevim B'Yisrael. So apparently you see in Chazal that it's possible, and not just possible, it's mandatory, to go from Avelus to a Yom Tov. Me'evel L'Simcha. And that therefore reflects the mood with us as well, as we still try and absorb the overwhelming tragedy. But the avoda is to go from avelus to yom tov. Ve'ezus Hashem me'afelo la'oiro, as we look forward to the yom tov of Shavuos Avoleinu L'Tovah. It was exactly a week ago tonight. There was a colossal kenes here in Ramah Aleph. And one of the speakers there, Meilech Biederman, said a phenomenal thing. The Gemara tells us that when a tzara occurs, and in particular when somebody passes away and there are tears shed, the person is moirid demois, person sheds tears. So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those tears and he counts them, Umanichon bebeis gnozov, and he stores them in a special storehouse. That's what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. So the traditional understanding in the Gemara is, if a person cries, and those tears are so chovid, they're so precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores them. But Rav Biederman said a phenomenal pshat. He said that's not what it means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores the tears because there's been pain and there's been crying and there's been tears. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm holding on to these tears. Now let's see what you do with them. If the entire result of the tzara is only tears, then the tzara was for no purpose. That wasn't the tachlis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores these tears and says, let's see what this now generates. Let's see what this fosters. Does this bring about a change? Because after all, that was the tachlis of the tzara in the first place. Any Yom Tov needs hachana, especially Chag Matan Torah, but particularly in the times that we find ourselves in now, that's really the avodah, to make sure that those tears that were shed, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding safely, and is kaviyochel waiting and watching to see what happens to those tears. Will they be converted into reality? Will they be converted into something concrete? So we're trying to make sure that this Yom Tov, Be'ezus Hashem, will be a concrete Yom of Aliyah and will be the Yom Tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects it to be. We all know the famous Gemara. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations. The Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Esav and Yishmael, they all refused until eventually Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh V'Nishma. Why must we know that? Why is it important for us to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations? They didn't accept it, and thank goodness for that. Klal Yisrael did. So, L'chaira, the last line of this story is what's relevant to us. The fact that it was offered to somebody else and they refused it is L'chaira not important. But it must be important because Chazal taught it to us. So what is the lesson to be learned? Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu offer the Torah to the nations? And what are we supposed to learn from that? After all, eventually it came our way. We said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and the rest, L'chaira, is history. But apparently not. Apparently it's important for us to know that there was a long story before then. And we were really the last in the queue. Yishmael, Esav, all the nations of the world, they came long before us. And what's the lesson? What can be learned from here? In Parashat Yisroi, which is of course the parasha of Kabbalas HaTorah, Klal Yisrael received their mandate. And it says that your job is now to become the Mamleches Koyanim, the Goy Kodesh, and to be the Skulo Mikol Ho'amin. That's a very tall order. Skulo Mikol Ho'amin. More precious than all other nations. To be Koyanim, to be Kodeshim. It sounds an overwhelming task, and especially let's not forget that this is the nation that have only 2 months ago, in fact even less, come from rock bottom. Mem tet shari tumah, Chazal tell us they were seconds away from reaching the point of no return. And less than 2 months later, they're expected to be the Mamleches Koyanim, the Goy Kodesh. You would have thought, let them ease in. Give them a few years. Give them time. What is the Torah trying to teach us over here? And thirdly, as we know on Shavuot, we read Megillas Rus, and there are many reasons suggested. One of them is, of course, because Rus is the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, as we know in Chazal, was born and also passed away on Shavuot. Now when you think about that, that's a little bit tenuous. There we are at 5 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, half asleep, and we're reading Megillas Rus because Rus is the great-grandmother of somebody who was born today. There must be a lesson over here. What is the lesson of Rus, the lesson of David HaMelech, that's so central to the Chag of Shavuos? So these are the 3 points that Be'ezus Hashem would like to examine a little bit. Firstly, why is it important for us to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations? Secondly, why this enormous turnaround from coming from the Mentes Shari Tumah and all of a sudden expected to be the Mamleches Kohen and the Goy Kodesh? And thirdly, what can we learn from the Megillah of Rus and David HaMelech that apparently is so central to the Avodah of Chag HaShavuos? So in order to understand this a little bit, let's have a look for a moment or two at the very up and down roller coaster life that was the life of David HaMelech. Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, in Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. David HaMelech becomes appointed as king. And there is a discussion, is he worthy of being king, is he not worthy of being king? And all of a sudden, comes along, and he says, one moment, can we please stop this conversation? Why are we discussing whether David HaMelech is a fitting king? There's a far more serious question to be asked. And what is that? Who says he's Jewish, Bechal? Who says he's Jewish? After all, David HaMelech comes from Rus HaMoyavir, and the Torah writes quite clearly in Parshat Kisetzei, Lo Yovoi Amoini Umoi Avi B'Kal Hashem. Anybody from Moav and Amoin can enter Klal Yisrael. Dovid HaMelech emanates from Ruth. So what's going on over here? Why are we talking about? Is he appropriate? Is he suitable candidate for Malchus? There is a much more important question. Who says that he can be a member of Klal Yisrael, the Chal? When you just stop and think about that, it's staggering. Dovid Melech Yisrael, Chai B'Kayim, when there was a question about whether he was Jewish. Imagine somebody would come in over here and says, you know, I'm not sure, Chaim Kanievsky, is he Jewish at all? We wouldn't be able to hear such a question. And here they said it about Dovid HaMelech, Doyegu Adoymi, there was a big shayla. And as far as he was concerned, it wasn't a shayla, it's Mefurash HaPosav. Who says he's Jewish? Why should he be Jewish before? So they came and they told him, no, they're the drosha. Because it says in the Torah, Moy Avi, and we say, Moy Avi V'loy Moy Avis. Only male members of Moyav can't enter Klal Yisrael. But female members, such as Rus, they can enter Klal Yisrael. So you would have thought, so at least then, discussion closed. Doye comes back, who says? In the same posuk, it also says that a mitzri can't enter Klal Yisrael. So we're going to say that only a male Egyptian, not a female Egyptian. A whole discussion about whether or not Dovid HaMelech, in fact, was Jewish. And Chazal tell us, because this halacha, the distinction between male and female members of Moav, for whatever reason, was not clear in Klal Yisrael. Was not clear. Such that you had the greatest, such as Doeg Doimi, who was casting aspersions on the whole validity of Dovid HaMelech Yichus Tichlal. This halacha was not clear. This halacha was not clear. When Boaz eventually actually married Ruth, Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara in Ksubas, he assembled 10 men. Why 10 men? So the Gemara says he wanted to be mefarseim the halacha. Everybody should know, there should be no mistakes here. It's mutter for me to marry her, even though she comes from Moav, but she's a Moavis, not a Moavi. Why the whole public scene? Because he felt necessary to be mefarseim this halacha. And apparently, it wasn't that successful. There were those generations later who were still being mefakpik. Who said? Who said? It's quite mind-blowing to think that Dovid HaMelech, and yet there was a shaila about his whole roots, where he emanated from. If you think that's strange, listen to a medrash which is so mind-blowing that unless you see it inside, it's almost impossible to believe. There's a medrash in Tehillim, and the medrash says the following story. Dovid HaMelech's father Yishai. Now let's not forget, Yishai is one of the few people that Chazal tell us never sinned. Doesn't say that about Moshe Rabbeinu or Avraham Avinu, but it does about Yishai. So we need to know who we're talking about over here. It says that Yishai was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. Upiresh me ishtoi gimel shonim. He separated from his wife. It doesn't tell us why. No physical contact with his wife for 3 years. After 3 years, it says there that the great Yishai, he had a shifcha, a maidservant. And he tells her, I want you to get ready for tonight, and we're going to be together this evening. The shifcha then goes to Yishai's wife and tells her, do you know that your husband, Dovid HaMelech, has told me to prepare myself for tonight? Yishai. What did I say? Yishai. She says to the wife of Yishai, that, do you know, your husband has told me to prepare for tonight. Strange, she says, he's separated me for 3 years. So the Medrash says, they devise a plan. The Shifcha of Yishai and the wife of Yishai. The Shifcha said to the wife of Yishai, he's told me to prepare. You prepare yourself as well. And when it comes to the evening, just as he closes the door, you'll slip in and I'll slip out. And unbeknown to Yishai, with him in the room will in fact be his own wife. But it won't be me, the Shifcha. That's what the Medrash says. Indeed, that's what happened. The Shifcha left the room, his wife entered the room, says the Medrash, from that union, David HaMelech was conceived. David HaMelech was conceived. You can imagine, Yishai is perplexed. How did his wife end up becoming a Mu'uberes? As far as he was concerned, he had been Poyrish with his wife for years. Nobody knew about this story, says the Medrash, for 28 years. David HaMelech only lived for 70 years, so this is almost half of his life. It's too mind-blowing. The Mephoroshim explain, the Ramami panel, that Yishai also was concerned about this halacha, about Moyavi and Moyavis. Now he himself is a descendant of Rus, so he's not convinced, am I in fact Jewish? He wasn't sure. And all the children that I've had together with his wife, maybe they're also not Jewish. That's why he was poyrish from his wife, says the Ramami panel. There's no purpose in being together and bringing children to the world who might all well be goyim. His scheme was, this was what he was going to do, that he was going to marry the Shifcha. The Shifcha, through a halachic process, the children would be an Eved, and if you're there in the Shachra, you'd free the Eved, he can become Jewish. So at least he'll have a Jewish child. That was his whole scheme. That's what the Ramami panel says. But therefore, when it all went, in his opinion, horribly wrong, and he cannot understand how did his wife become a Mu'uberes, he obviously suspected that his wife has committed sins. That's what seems to have happened. Say the Mephoroshim, that's why David was sent into the fields. David, as we know, was a Roye Tzoyin. Why was he a Roye Tzoyin? Because they threw him into the fields. He was the social outcast of his family. The Mephoroshim say they were hoping he would be killed there. You live in the fields where there's wild animals and hopefully they'll take care of you. As far as they were concerned, he's come from an illicit marriage and he's a mamzer. Shmuel HaNavi is now charged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint a king. So he comes to Yishai and he says, Yishai, do you have any sons? He produces his oldest son. No, not this one. Second, no, not this one either. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth. None of them suitable. Says Shmuel HaNavi, do you have any other sons? He says, no, not really. She says, what about the one in the field? Oh, him? So they bring David HaMelech. Now, one second, let's press pause again. Talking about the great Yishai. They asked him, do you have any more children? And he said, no. The answer is because he thought that David HaMelech wasn't his son. He wasn't lying. He genuinely thought that David HaMelech was not his son. And Shmuel HaNavi summons him and says, this is the one. This is the one. All the brothers, this is the way the Medrash describes it, the brothers are all standing there, absolutely gobsmacked. What's going on over here? This is David HaMelech, who as far as we're concerned is the mamzer. We've thrown him into the field, we were hoping he'd be killed, and Shmuel HaNavi, as directed by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, is appointing him now as Melech of Kol Klal Yisrael. What's happening over here? Something has gone horribly wrong. Something doesn't make sense. But there was one person who knew the truth. The mother of David HaMelech, she did know the truth. And the Medrash said it was at that point that she said the pasuk, Even Moasu Haboinim, Hoisto L'Roish Pino. Even from the word Ben. Moasu Haboinim, all my bonim, have despised him. And yet, Hoistal the Rosh, he's now become the Rosh. 28 years of his life, he was mocked and derided and put into seclusion, hoping he'd be killed. And he ended up the Melech of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if we're allowed to ask, but we'll ask it anyway. If we were to be writing Klal Yisrael's history, the script, wouldn't we like our first Melech to have come from illustrious roots? squeaky clean, everything just above board. And yet, David HaMelech, there was a shaila whether he was Jewish. For half his life he was thrown into the field, they thought he was a mamzer. Are we allowed to ask the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrange it in this way? And if we're not allowed to ask that question, then at least let's ask the question which definitely is allowed, what can we learn from that? The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates events, that David HaMelech comes from such a bizarre, murky background. What is there that we can learn from this? What is there that we can learn from this? And I think that the answer could be found in a Medrash, and this is really the yesod that I'd like to share with you this evening. Because the Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Parashas Bereishis. Omer Rabbi Simon, Shalosh Metzios Motzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, found three Metzios. Now we know what a Metzios is. You walk down the road, you see a 5-shekel piece, that's a Metzios. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found three Metzios. And who were they? Avraham Avinu, David HaMelech, and Klal Yisrael. What does that mean, they were Metzios? So listen to the pshat of the Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer says, what is a Metzios? You cannot, by definition, plan to find a Metzios. That's an inherent contradiction. A Metzios, as the name suggests, Motza, you just chanced upon it and you found it, totally unexpectedly. Says the Ksav Sefer, the common denominator between Avraham Avinu, David HaMelech, and in fact Klal Yisrael as a whole, they are all as a Metzios. Totally unexpected. Who would have thought that Avraham Avinu, the founding father of Klal Yisrael, came from Terach, Levin Avodah Zorah? We like to perhaps brush over that part of our history, but that's the truth. So who would have expected that? That's a Metzios. Totally unexpected. David HaMelech, in light of the background we've just explained, that is the greatest Metzios. Who would have thought that David HaMelech, about whom there was a question whether he was Jewish, whether he was a mamzer, he was a social outcast, who would have thought that he would become the great David HaMelech? And who would have thought that Klal Yisrael, less than 2 months after coming out of Mitzrayim, would be standing at the foot of Sinai, receiving their mandate to become the Goyim, the great Kohen. So do you know what this all teaches us? This teaches us a tremendous lesson. And the lesson is in the parasha. In fact, the lesson is in the name of the parasha, which is the name of the Sefer. Bamidbar. The Torah was given in a desolate Midbar. Why was the Torah given in a Midbar? Says the Medrash. Because the Midbar is Chinom. Af Torah b'chinom. Anybody can enter the Midbar. There's no charge. There's no entrance ticket. What does that mean? What is Chazal teaching us? The Chazal are teaching us that it doesn't make a difference where you come from. What's far more important is where you're going to. If you enter a Midbar, there are no preconditions. There's no entrance fee. There's no form that you have to fill out to be qualified. That's Matan Torah. Matan Torah comes without any preconditions. No matter where you come from, you too can and must attach yourself to Torah. That's what it means. These Metzios, we ask, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrate, or at least what can we learn from the fact that David HaMelech came from these bizarre beginnings? That Avraham Avinu, our founding father, came from an Avodah Zarah. This is what we are learning. You can become the founding father of Klal Yisrael with no background whatsoever, other than a father of Avodah Zarah. You can become a David HaMelech without any great, glorious, and glamorous background. David HaMelech, for half of his life, nobody in the world would have thought that he'd become a Melech. They weren't sure if he was a Jew at all. And yet he became David HaMelech. He became David HaMelech. This is the great Yesod. This is the great Yesod. You know, it's the biggest secret in the whole of the Torah. Imagine you get a wedding invitation through your door one day. Oh, very exciting. Who's getting married? You are hereby cordially invited to the chasna of a boy who's marrying a girl. We look forward to seeing you there. Strange. But that's what it says in the Torah. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu's parents. It was the most anonymous chasna invitation of all time. A man from the family of Levi married a girl from the Bas Levi. What's the big secret? Why can't it say Vayikach Amram es Yecheved? What's the big secret? Why is it so anonymous? But one of the reasons given is precisely for that point. Because were it to say that, do you know what we would all say? Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course he became Moshe Rabbeinu. He comes from Amram. He comes from Yecheved. The Torah deliberately hides all of that. It's true, but that's not why he became Moshe Rabbeinu. He became Moshe Rabbeinu because he became Moshe Rabbeinu. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu's own children did not take over the leadership, much as he wanted them to do. And the Mefarshim explain in the Sefer Apiria in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, because imagine if Moshe Rabbeinu's children would have taken over the leadership, what would people have said? So it's in the family. If your father happens to be Moshe Rabbeinu, then you're made. And if not, then there's no hope for the rest of us. So this is what the Torah is teaching us. Moshe Rabbeinu's parents were not why Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu. And his children did not necessarily take over his leadership. There are no guarantees for godless. One has to earn godless. There are no free tickets. One has to earn godless. But godless is public territory. Everybody can become a god. Everybody can become a god. In fact, the Rambam writes, Kol Echad Yochel Liyos K'mosh Rabbeinu. Everybody asks, how can that be? The Torah says you can't become a Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kom novi k'moshe. But the Mefarshim explain Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his potential to the full, and everybody can do that. Everybody can do that. And that, therefore, I think is the limud of Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all of the nations. They didn't accept it, thankfully. But why is that important for us to know? And the answer is this same lesson. Ma midbar bechinom af Torah bechinom. Torah is essentially available for anybody and everybody. All you've got to do is say, yes, me, Nasta v'nishma. That's why it's important for me to know, not just as a history lesson, to understand and realize that in theory, Esav, Yishmael, Edom, they could have taken the Torah as well. There are no preconditions for Torah. Ma hamidbar b'chinom af ha-Torah b'chinom. There is no charge, there is no free, there are no preconditions. Anybody and everybody can be mekabel the Torah. We asked, 49 days. 49 days, that's less than 2 months after almost hitting rock bottom. And then they're expected to be the Mamleches Kohen in the Great Kodesh. But once again, that's the lesson. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter that less than 2 months ago, you indeed almost hit rock bottom. It doesn't matter your background. That's not important where you came from. Important is where you're going to. And giving you this charge of becoming the Mamleches Kohen in the Goy Kodesh, you're no worse than David HaMelech. You're no worse than Avraham Avinu, who came from Oved Avodah Zarah. And look what they became. Look what they became. If we were to be asked to write a brief character assessment, if we may call it that, of Rus, what would we describe as Rus' outstanding midos? So So I think we would all say one of two things. Tznius is one, the Medrash says Meforish, that Boaz saw her in the field and the way that she was crouched down was Tznius. That's one outstanding middah. What's the other outstanding middah of Ruth? Chesed. The Medrash says the whole Megillah Ruth is all about Chesed. So listen to the most incredible thing. Ruth excels in Tznius and Chesed. Who does Ruth come from? Moav. We know two things about Moav, that they are the opposite of Tznius and Chesed. In fact, Moav can't come into Klal Yisrael. Why not? Al devar asher lo kidmo oisam balechem uvamayim. Klal Yisrael are making their way through the land. You can't do the decent thing. Be balei Chesed. They are the opposites of Chesed. Moav is the opposite of Tznius. In fact, that's their whole name. Moav Me'av, the story with the Benois Lois, that's a lack of tznius. They were the ones who committed tznius with Klal Yisrael. So Ruth is the paradigm of tznius and chesed coming from roots which not only don't have middos of tznius and chesed, in fact they're the opposite. That's the secret of Shavuos. That is the secret of Shavuos. The aside of Chag HaShavuos is it doesn't matter if those are your roots. Even if your roots dictate the opposite, you're the opposite of Tznius, you're the opposite of Chesed, but Rust ends up epitomizing, excelling in those very middos of Tznius and Chesed. And that's why we read Rust on Shavuos. It's not just a tenuous connection because she happens to be the great-grandmother of David HaMelech who happens to have been born and died on this day. Because Ruth and David HaMelech represent the very essence of this whole Chag. The essence of this whole Chag is Ma Midbar Bechinom Af Torah Bechinom. There are no preconditions. Everybody can attain Gadlus, but it has to be attained. It has to be attained. If I'm not mistaken, it was the British Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, who said, some people, he said, are born great. And some people attain greatness. And some people have greatness thrust upon them. It might sound a very clever soundbite when you think about it. Only a goy could say something like that. Because we don't believe that anybody is born great or anybody can have greatness thrust upon them. There is only one route, and that is you have to attain greatness. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have greatness thrust upon him, neither was he born great. But his parents were Amram and Yecheved. That's why the Torah brushed over that, kept it all very quiet. Moshe Rabbeinu became great. He attained greatness. David HaMelech, coming from the most bizarre, difficult background, a shaila whether he was Jewish bichlal, thrown into the fields, the embarrassment of the family, and he became David HaMelech. He became David HaMelech. Ruth HaMoavia, from these difficult roots, the opposites of Tznius, the opposite of Chesed, and look how she ends up being the absolute paradigm of Tznius and Chesed. And so too, Klal Yisrael, as we stood at the foot of the mountain, 49 days after hitting the Memtes Shari Tumah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, now, having prepared yourself, even with a background like that, you can and must be Mekabel Torah. You can and you must be Mekabel Torah. And that, therefore, I think, is the secret, one of the secrets of this tremendous Yom Tov of Chag Matan Torah. Because the Eitz HaRa sometimes tries to get us busy and put us off, and if only my father was, if only I had this, if only I'd be wealthier, if only I'd have more time, if only I came from this family, if only, and we've all got a whole long list of excuses ready for Acha Meir Esther. But why didn't you learn? And why didn't you become? Kodesh Baruch Hu, my fault? Look what family you put me in. Look what Shekhinah you put me in. Look what Parnassah you put me in. I've got a whole catalogue of excuses. But Shavuos teaches us that there are no excuses because there are no preconditions.
And if there are no preconditions, then you can't come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with the excuse that the conditions were not right, because there are no conditions. There are no conditions. And therefore, just to bring things to a conclusion, as we make ourselves, make our way, as we mentioned, really from an atmosphere of avelus, there's no other way really to describe it, as we approach the Yom Tov, that too is part of the limbus. You can come from avelus also and end up on the Yom Tov. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask us is not where we came from, but where did you go to? That's the Yisrael of Chag HaShavuos. All of the nations in the world, they could have got in, because Torah is available to anybody and everybody. And that's why Chazal felt it important to teach us. Esav, Edom, Yishmael, Torah was up for grabs. Torah was up for grabs. They said no. We said Nasa v'Nishma. No preconditions. Yes, 49 days after sinking to the Memtesh Shari Tuma, we were makabel of Torah. And that is the story of Ruth. That is the story of David HaMelech. May it be the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that each one of us, with our potential, with our koichos, with our kishreinos, should become Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael, as the Rambam teaches us, everybody can become like a Moshe Rabbeinu. A Gedolei Yisrael means somebody who fulfilled his Torah potential to the full. Such that will come the day, the Yom HaDin, we won't need to make excuses. And we'll say we learned the lesson of Shavuos. We learned the lesson of Rus Hamoy Avir. We learned the lesson of David HaMelech, Avraham Avinu. In fact, we learned the lesson of Klal Yisrael as a whole. We became great. We put in our effort to become great. And Be'ezus Hashem, we should all become Gedolei Yisrael. We should be Zoicha only to hear the Surah's Tevis. And Mis Hashem, enjoy a Simcha Dikah and a meaningful Yom Tov. Amen.